Hello, good afternoon. No, good morning, everyone. Nearly. Well, that's embarrassing. Good morning, everyone. Just to introduce myself, my name's Tim. You already know that, don't you? You already know what my surname is because we've had 3 minutes on that already. As you know, a couple of weeks ago, James introduced us to this current series, this current short series that we've been going through the last 3 weeks. Just to sort of basically say, who are we as a church? What is our identity? Where is our heart? And he introduced that a couple of weeks ago, basically with these four different statements. We love Jesus, we love one another, we love our town, and we love the nations. And hopefully by now, with all of these various different images around, you'll be getting very used to these little pictures and these little phrases. Again, we've just found them, as a leadership team, a really useful kind of place to start in terms of, okay, who are we, what are we doing, and does it fit in with our vision, okay? So last week, Ian gave us an overview of the first two of these, the fact that we love Jesus, which has to be prime and sort of first place amongst all of these different things, and then we love one another, okay, within the church. And it's my role today just to go through the last two of those, but I do feel that we need to just kind of very quickly skim through what Ian covered last week, because these all flow from one to another. Okay, we can't love the nations if we don't love Jesus. We can't love our town if, on the contrary, we're not loving one another. It's just, you know, that's going to give the wrong picture to the town. You know, to the town. If we're professing that we love, that God loves us, and that we want to extend that love to the town, but we're not acting in love towards one another, it comes across as a real hypocrisy, you know, and we can't have that. So the first statement on the list, we love Jesus, has to take precedence over everything else, because everything else flows directly from that. If we don't love Jesus, then we can be loving towards the town, we can be loving towards the nations, but we're essentially just a charitable group or friends, you know, who are trying to help people out. But everything needs to flow from the sense that we love Jesus. We love God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And if we don't get anything else right, this has to be our prime motivation. Okay, the first commandment was to love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's so important. That's, you know, Jesus was saying this is the number one thing that we need to get. So that's got to be the number one aim for us as a church. It has to be, if you were to cut into us like a stick of rock, it has to be the number one thing that's most central, most core, flowing through us, is that we love God. Okay, the second thing Ian then spoke about, we love one another. I've already kind of touched on this to some extent already. Jesus said, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So we don't just do this because it's beneficial for us. It helps us to support and encourage one another, to be able to weep alongside someone who's mourning, to be able to rejoice along someone who's celebrating. So that's really beneficial and helpful for us as individuals. But it's also a sign for the people around us. As I've just mentioned, if we're a church and we proclaim the love of God, but we don't visibly love one another, then that's a very clear sign to the people outside us to say, these guys talk one thing, but they live differently. So we have to make sure that because God loves us and because we've built that relationship and we reflect that love back to him, we need to love one another. Because if we don't get those right, then these next steps that we're going to be looking at today, loving our town and loving the nations, are either, they're going to fall flat. Okay? Any questions? Fantastic. Okay, so this morning we're going to look at the last two elements of the series. So firstly, we love our town. Now, a few moments ago, I quoted Jesus' response when he was asked, what was the greatest commandment? So again, if you remember the story, someone came up to him and basically said, Lord, what is the most important commandment? Can you boil it all down for us? And he said, love the Lord God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. And then in the next verse, he says, and love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. So our neighbors, actually, it's the people, the community in which we live. It's the people that you rub shoulders with. It's the people who literally live next door or across the road. It's the people that you meet on the schoolyard. It's the people that you sit alongside when you work in your office or you know, it's the people that you meet, you know, when you take your kids out to football club or to tennis club or whatever, it's the people that you mix with. So loving our neighbours as ourselves basically is a commandment. Jesus is saying, love God with all your heart, and then love your town, love your community. So for us, that is our town. The first draft of this actually said, we love North Horsham, because we are a North Horsham church, New Life North Horsham, the clue is in the name. We're in a building in North Horsham, so it's very, very right that as a church, our focus should be on North Horsham. But we did shift the wording to say we love our town, because not everybody within the church lives in North Horsham. And some of you may be very passionate about the fact that you live within your villages and you want to display, you know, God's love in that context. So as part of a church, our focus is unashamedly going to be about North Horsham, because that's the town that we're based in, we're called to serve, and we want to bless North Horsham. But we didn't want to restrict things to just North Horsham. And if you happen to live in Skyton or in Felwingham, then that's it, you know, you're out of the picture. Okay, so our town hopefully will sort of scan across to our village so that you can kind of feel a sense of ownership even if you don't live within North Horsham. Okay, does that make sense? Everyone happy with that? No one's feeling excluded? Okay, good. Having moved here roughly 20 years ago, my first impressions of North Horsham were not necessarily a loving one. So actually, before I moved here, when I came over for sixth form college, I didn't really like it, because I spent a lot of my time either sitting in the churchyard eating chips or wandering the streets waiting for my friends to come out of their lessons so that I could kind of actually hang around and speak to people that I knew. In rain or shine, I could tell you every CD in Woolworths, because every day I went in and looked at them all, you know, and then the video section, and then off down to the library, and you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, after 2 years of basically wandering around not liking the place, it was a bit of a challenge when I first moved here. It was like kind of, you know, Catherine came over, we were expecting a baby, so things were lovely from a, you know, family perspective, but actually kind of North Horsham didn't feel like a home yet. And at the time, I'm not sure that I would have said that I loved it yet. One of the frustrations actually when we first got here is we moved to North Horsham and then found that all of our friends within the church, or not all of them, but quite a few of our closest friends within the church didn't live in North Horsham. So actually, we kind of felt like we hadn't really moved into that community yet. But after 20 years of bringing up our children, using the schools and the shops and the services in the local communities, getting to know people, getting to know neighbours, we've had some lovely neighbours, both in the flat where we used to live and the house where we are now. It really has grown on us. You know, despite all of our best intentions, I've grown to love North Horsham. Because that's where, you know, it's where we are, it's our community, it's the people that we live amongst. And so we would hope that each member of the church would come to, you know, to love North Horsham more and more, that you'd come to love your villages more and more. Because actually that's where God's called you to, right? So if God has put you there, and God has given us this commission to love our neighbours, then actually we need to love the areas and the places in which we live. So for us, it's very definitely North Horsham. Okay. So I'm really proud over the 20 years that we've been here to have been part of a church which has consistently sought to serve and to bless and to invest in our community. I'm really proud of that. You know, at no point have we wanted to be completely isolated. I'm sure that there's more that we could have done, but there's certainly less that we could have done. There's a lot of ways in which we as a church have invested in our community, quite often quite sacrificially, and we do that deliberately because, again, we feel that we are called to bless the town that we're in. We feel it's a great way of getting ourselves known and actually serving people and loving people, because there's a lot of people in North Horsham and the surrounding areas who need support, advice, help, assistance, you know, a shoulder to cry on at times, an arm around the shoulder, and we can do that. Okay. Rather than me trying to remind you about all the different things that we do in North Horsham, I'm going to give Susie a few minutes to go through it with you. So, Susie? Yeah, she's not here, but it's a good job she's recorded a video. So, that's fantastic. And Irene's right on top of all of this.
At New Life, we have a passion to reach our town, particularly the young people and families of our town. We had a prophecy many years ago from a dear member of our congregation, Mary Birch, who said that we would actually win the town through the young people. And it was that prophecy that led to the start of The Attic, which is our free youth club that meets on a Friday evening. We've been running now for 10 years in a number of locations across the town, and we've seen loads of young people just come through the doors of church and just experience just the love and kindness of people who love Jesus. We've seen a few of those people come along with us to New Day. We've seen a couple commit their lives to Jesus. And the attic has been just the most wonderful thing to be a part of. The other thing is that since the attic has been going for 10 years, which is a really long time, and in that 10 years we've been desperately trying to get just a bit of a presence in the high school. I really felt that that's what God wanted us to do, to get in the high school. And a number of years ago, actually, Jez Bayless and I went across and did an assembly there, and it felt like we had a foot in the door, but it wasn't quite right. And so, yeah, probably about 6 or 7 years later now, we've just started going in and doing some mentoring with some of the young people that come to the attic. The school approached us and said, we know that we have a number of kids who go to the attic who would benefit from some more support in the form of mentoring within school. Is this something you could help facilitate? And it is, and it's so good just to be in the school, just to get that opportunity to be soul and mind. A couple of years later, we then felt inspired to open up our toddler group that used to meet within sort of the confines of the church, just to reach the people of North Walsham a little bit more. So we started New Life Tots. So that's been going here for 8 years now, again in a number of different locations, and we've seen so many little ones come through our doors, but their parents and their carers also. And we've had the most wonderful opportunity to pray with families and just share a little bit about what we believe, and just a little bit of that love of Jesus with those families. We then, through sort of some of our own personal experiences, felt inspired to set up a parent cafe. Parent cafe is just a free coffee morning for parents and carers of anyone who has any kind of special educational need or additional need or disability. And we meet on a Tuesday morning in the building, and we have coffee and we eat biscuits and sometimes we eat toast. And we've had a number of guest speakers, including SENCOs and EHCP coordinators, come and give talks, but we've also just had the opportunity to just hear about people's lives and experiences, give them a place where they can be open and honest about what goes on at home, and just receive that kindness and love and that non-judgmentalness that Jesus would offer those people. Again, that wonderful group is supported by the most fantastic team of volunteers from the church who just love the town so diligently and love the people of the town so vehemently. And then finally, the other things that we do just to show our love for the town is we host things like quiz and chips nights. They're just a really cheap, family-friendly event. We know that the cost of living has just soared in recent years, and the opportunities that perhaps families can give their children just to have fun I've had to condense, so we felt things like quiz and chips were really important. Just have a fun night that's really, really cheap, you know, £1 for a meal, and really family friendly. And then also, again, sort of to do with that economic crisis that we're in at the moment, we've been running clothes swaps, children's clothes swaps. So we're accepting donations of clothes from newborn right the way through to teenage years. And then we open up the church hall and people can swap their unwanted clothes for new clothes for their children, or new to them clothes. And it's been a massive success. The people of the community in Proportion have just said how helpful it's been. Children grow at an alarming rate, and clothing them throughout the year can be really quite a challenge. And it's things like that that just show that actually we really do love North Walsham. All of the events that we put on are just only possible through the time and energy that the people of this church, New Life Church, give up. We have the most outstanding group of volunteers that serve as part of Parent Cafe, Tots, Attic, Clothes Swaps, Quiz and Chips, and all the other events that we do throughout the year. And they are phenomenal. and they do such a wonderful job of loving this town really well. So just to say, if you would like to be part of that team of volunteers, we would love you to come and join us. Feel free to speak to me when I'm back from holiday, or send me an email or a Facebook message if you'd like to be part of any of those teams. We would dearly, dearly love to have you.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Just imagine how long it would have taken me to try and go through all of that. I asked Susie to provide us with a couple of, like a 2-minute video, just to talk about, you know, the attic and Tots and Parent Cafe, and she came back with 6 minutes, because basically we're doing so much stuff for our town and in our town that you can't boil it down to 2 minutes. And she didn't just talk about those three things, she sort of added in about an extra 5 or 6 that she's been involved in and that the church has been involved in. So firstly, yes, well done, thank you Susie, for pulling that all together. But you as a church actually can feel at least some sense of pride, I think pride's yes. Enough, right?
Yeah,
kind of within measure, right? We should feel pleased that we've been able to serve our community in the ways that we have. And we should be very pleased about the fact that within it, so many people are serving and getting involved in those groups and actually using that as an opportunity to get to know people in the local community who need our help and our support. That we're providing a really good, really needed sort of services to the local people. And not just, obviously, the areas that Susie's talked about. Harvest is not just a New Life Church youth group, actually. There are others from other towns, other villages, other churches within the town, and people who don't go to a church at all in the town, you know, and Harvest has been serving those people as well. That's our youth group. So it's great to see so many of you in that video clip. The one that always makes me chuckle, I've seen this a couple of times now, is there's a picture of Glenn towards the end when everyone's like really enthusiastic and Glenn's sort of sitting there as if to say, can I go home now? But again, everyone has a role to play. I know that Glenn absolutely has loved, and I mean loved, his involvement with the Tots group. Never thought that he would do much more than just setting things up, but it turns out that he really enjoyed it. I can see my dad over there, and I know that he's not involved in this church, but in his church, it was much the same. You got involved basically because you had to. There was a need, and then it suddenly became priority number one. Because actually, when you get involved in serving in these groups, and you discover actually that you're good at something, or that you can play with the kids while someone else talks to the parents and sees how they're doing, actually, it's all really valuable. So what am I waffling on about? It's basically to say thank you to everyone who's involved in all of those different groups. That demonstrates this, that we love our town. I was pointing at that one, but we're going to get there. So this demonstrates, this shows our love for our town. And there may be other things that come up in future and new ways now that we've got this building, now that we've, you know, sort of we're now thinking about our strategies, you know, for the next phase. Maybe there's groups and maybe there's opportunities to serve our community that we haven't yet thought about. So we want to be open to ideas, and as Susie said at the end of the video, if anyone is not involved in those groups and having seen that, you think, actually, I can spare a few hours on a certain morning to go along to this group and see if I can lend a hand, see if I can be of use, see if I can, you know, serve God in that way and serve the church and serve the town in that way, we'd really love to hear from you. The last point on that is that actually we've all got a role to play as well. We've talked several times about the fact that everything we do as a church, we want to soak it in prayer. So even if actually you work 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, and you're not going to be available to help out with Tots or Parent Cafe or whatever, what you can be doing is just routinely, regularly, just pray. Just ask God's blessing upon those groups. Ask for the safety of the people who come along to them, you know, and for opportunities to share the gospel and all those kind of good things that we talk about. So please do commit yourself to pray, even if you can't, you know, be there on a certain day to actually help out with a particular group. Okay, the next statement we're looking at is we love the nations. Now I just wanted to point out that these different statements, there is, in my mind, a real direction of travel. I've talked about the fact that everything comes from loving God, or rather comes from God loving us, and us devoting ourselves to love God with all of our heart. and then everything else results from that. And to me, there's a real flow that we love Jesus, therefore we love one another, and therefore we love our town, and therefore we love the nations. And there's a real direction of flow. When Jesus, just before the ascension, Jesus' final words to the disciples was, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And that commission, if you like, has a real sense of flow. It's basically saying, I will pour out the Holy Spirit upon you, and then you will be effective in Jerusalem. So basically where you are, and then it was Judea and Samaria. So it's the region, the area around you, and then it's to the ends of the earth. There's a real direction of flow. And just as that is the case for that particular message, which is very much witnessing, very much spreading the gospel, there's a real sense of flow that out of our love for Jesus, we will love one another as a church, because we want to support and we want the best for for our brothers and sisters, and we therefore love our town, because that's the next necessary reflection of that. And then actually it doesn't stop there, because we've got the ends of the earth as well. So we want to love the nations. Now this is, I think, of the four, I think most people agree that this is probably the most difficult to sort of try and sort of pull out, or it certainly seems that way to start with. It's quite challenging, isn't it? When Jesus says, "Go and make disciples of all nations," it's quite easy for us to think, well, okay, but how do we do that? I mean, we are a smallish church in a relatively rural area. We're not jet setters. We don't have international ministries, at least I don't. Do you, Ian?
Not so much.
No. And our community is not necessarily particularly multicultural either. So it might be, at first glance, kind of quite difficult to think, well, how does New Life North Horsham serve the nations? How do we demonstrate that love for the nations? But Jesus gave that commission, the Great Commission, to all churches, the Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. He gave it to all of us, and we're not excluded from that. We are included in that. Now, each church will have a different emphasis on different things. Some churches will... This will be a massive issue, sending missionaries all over the world. Others will be, might be a particular project or a particular emphasis. But we've all essentially got that same commission to go and spread the gospel and to see people saved and added in our local communities and to the ends of the earth. So whilst it may not be immediately obvious for us all, there are opportunities that arise for every church to develop a heart for the nations. Okay. And in some instances, those things fall into your lap. So actually, I'm going to go back to Elsham again. And at the moment, I'm aware that Elsham are doing quite a lot at the moment with there's a community of Ukrainian refugees. So without going anywhere, Elsham are sort of serving the nations. That is, isn't it? Okay. But for us, it may be a different calling. There may be other things. So actually, the more that I've looked into this and kind of given thought to it, right, should I say, you don't have to scratch our surface very far before you find that there's evidence of our love for the nations. Okay, the things that we do, the things that we have done, both at the moment and over the years, to show actually that we are connected into that wider church movement across the globe, and that we are committed to doing what we can to helping people in those situations that need it. So the best example of this, the first example, I think, which most people would say, is our relationship with the church in Niš in Serbia. So we have a relationship with Vlada and Sonja. This is Vlada, this is Sonja. And that relationship has been built over decades. Now, where am I? Yeah. So over quite a long period of time, we have developed that relationship with them. They know us, we know them, and we are very much involved in praying for their church, just as they pray for us. We send words of encouragement. They come over here. I mean, Vlada was here. Was it? It was still during COVID, wasn't it? So maybe 2 years ago? Or was it just last year?
Last year.
And it's brilliant to have that ongoing relationship. So primarily, when we think about the nations, our first port of call is Serbia. And that's partly because of Vlada and Sonja, but it's probably more primarily because we've got Irina and Martin with us. Now, Ian once described Martin to me as the most Serbian Englishman he's ever known. And I'm still not sure if I fully understand what he meant by that. But I think, I mean, is there a compliment in there?
Yeah,
I'll take it.
Yeah, it depends. Okay. You also described Irina as the most English Serbian. So again, I think both of those points were made out of love. But it's a wonderful match, actually, that Irina, who grew up in Serbia, met Martin while Martin was working out there for, was it a year?
A year and a half.
A year and a half. Probably should have been a year, but you met Irina when I said hang on a bit, yeah. Okay, so again, because of this heart for the nations, Martin had gone out to Serbia to go and work with the church out there, to work with Vlada and Sonia, and then met Irina, fell in love, and then you guys moved back here, and since you've moved to North Walsham, you and your young family have been a blessing to New Life Church. And as most people here will know, these guys are moving back out to Serbia next summer. So that is going to be costly for us as a church, because, you know, Irina and Martin do such a lot. They're sort of so important in terms of things that, you know, that are going on within the church. And it's always costly to send people out. But it's not just a cost, actually. What we're doing is that we are investing. We, as New Life, are investing in the church in Niš. And we're strengthening the relationships there. We've already got this, you know, this ongoing relationship that we have with Vlada and Sonia out there. We've got a really tight relationship with these guys, because they've been with us for years and years. So as a church, whilst we may be sending out this young family to go and work within the church in Niš, and, you know, the communities out there, obviously fantastic for Irina to sort of have more time with her family out there as well, we are investing in that relationship. We have that relationship with them. You know, we're a part of relational mission, which is the slightly strange name that we've given to the group of churches that we work with, but it is about relationships, and we have relationships, first-hand relationships with this church within Niš, which means that we are brothers and sisters. We might be hundreds, if not thousands, of miles apart, but we still stand shoulder to shoulder with them. And so this is a good opportunity for us to sort of see that and recognise, actually, that whilst it may not be me that's moving out to Niš, I know that Martin as a brother and Irina as a sister are going to be out there, and so it encourages me to pray and to be supportive and to do what I can, so that our church does what we can to support them up. So we do have some prayer points which I'm going to just bring up, and there are quite a few, so feel free, we can pop the slide up towards the end if you want to come and take a picture so that you can think about it and pray about it during the week. So there are some things to pray about for the church itself. Obviously we want to pray that they see salvation out there. We want young adults, so firstly to join the church and then to stay with the church and not move elsewhere, so that they can be discipled and sort of grow, and that other leaders can be sort of can grow up within the church, just to sort of again join in and to take a leadership position. They are seeking prayer for the worship team, again both for people to join the worship team and also particularly to lead the worship team. They would like to purchase a building behind the church. It's almost as if God's given you some experience recently of buying a building. So that would be great, again, just to pray for that. I don't know what they're using the building for. I'm guessing they've got some big plans to expand.
Currently it's not being used. We just need extra space.
Just extra space. Okay, fantastic. And to build relationships with the other churches, including the Roman churches out there. And a period of peace and building a church. Martin was suggesting that actually it's felt a bit of warfare and a bit of breaking tough ground going on. So actually just a period of peace and stability where the church can grow and sort of stabilise and sort of consolidate itself would be really, really great. So please do pray for those things. For Martin and Irina in particular this week, there's a meeting of the executive meeting of CAP, who Martin works for CAP. They're going to be making a decision as to whether Martin can stay in their employment despite moving out to Serbia. So let's pray that that goes well and that they say yes. That would certainly financially sort of make the whole thing much more secure. But also for the boys to settle into Serbia and particularly into the schools out there, for language growth for Martin and Luka and Jasper. I don't know, I've heard Luka and Jasper quite happily talking in Serbia. In fact, I've heard Martin speak very well. I mean, I don't know what's good Serbian or what's bad Serbian, but to me it seems very impressive. But please do pray for that, because obviously, you know, for them just to, you know, they're confident with the language, but it would be great for them to grow and to feel really, really at home, particularly within those first few months when they're out there and really kind of developing. Understanding for Arena, I think you want to know what you're going to do when you're out there, is that right? Yeah, okay, so let's pray for that. Finding the right house and selling up the one that they're in at the moment. And then building relationships within the church. So lots of things that you guys can be praying for, and just, you know, just asking Irena and Martin how things are going, just showing an interest and letting them know that we're all involved in this, we're all invested in this, and that we want to send them off well. Okay. I hope I haven't missed anything out from a Serbian point of view, but feel free just to tap up Martin or Irena later and find out if I've missed anything. Other stuff that we've been doing as a church over the years, some of these are old situations, others are ongoing situations. Well, John and Carol Prosser and Carol Martin had all been out, I think, in Zambia at various points, helping, I think it was an orphanage, but possibly a school linked. Carol, do you?
I went to South Africa, yes.
You went somewhere else? Okay. Just got the wrong flight.
No, it's cool.
Fantastic. Your mum and dad were in Zambia. Okay, fantastic. Sorry. Yeah, so there are people here, Carol, who have been out, flown out to other places because they've had a heart to help people where there's been a need. So again, this is something that we want to kind of recognise and say, okay, these are things that demonstrate our love for the nations and our willingness to go when an opportunity arises. Zoe, who some of you who've been around for a long while will definitely remember Zoe. She was out there in Zambia for quite some time, and I think that's probably how John and Carol particularly got involved in heading out there. Since then, more recently inspired by John, we've collected money for a borehole project in Kenya. So that's, again, another demonstration as to how we, in a very privileged position in this first world country, are able to really support Christians and communities who don't have things as nicely as we do. Neil and Paula lived and worked in Cyprus for a while, and so again, there is a heart there for the Mediterranean, you know, and for a connection to the churches that are out there. Beth and Naomi, if you remember them, they spent a year out in New Zealand chasing hobbits around, but also doing a fair bit of church work, which is fantastic, and we as a church supported them both financially and just in prayer and with a real commitment to send them out well. Our Harvest Youth Group has sponsored an African child for years, we made some sort of aid appeals and donations and generous gifts. There was, you know, one that springs to mind particularly, going back some way, was the terrible tsunami on Boxing Day in the early 2000s. But much more recently, you know, we sent funds for a generator to send off to Ukraine. So the church responds when we see a need. And it may be that those are one-off gifts, it may be that they are to establish a longer relationship such as we have with the church in Serbia. The bottom one, I know you're all excited because I've put pictures with this, we're having a Tear Fund big bake sale on November the 5th. Now, if there's a more difficult date to remember than November the 5th, it's tricky, but try and pop that in your brain there. Okay, November the 5th, come along to church here, we're going to have a big bake sale. So this is our favourite kind of way of loving the nations, isn't it? We can love the nations, we can make donations to Tear Fund, which is going to help out people in need all across the globe, and we can also eat some cake. So make sure that you bring some money so that we can make some donations. Your kids will probably be involved in that. Parents, you may be asked to provide, you know, some cookies or some muffins or something so that we can sell them. So please get behind us there. And then the next slide, I think, is talking about the shoebox appeal, which we've done for years and years and years here within the church, and we're launching it this week. So there are some leaflets over there on the table, so when you're grabbing a tea or a coffee at the end of the service, please do pick up one of those as well. There's some more out in the foyer. There's a few here. So again, no, there's no excuse for anyone to not have one of these. Please do give some thought as to whether or not you can fill up one or more shoeboxes and send out. It may be something you want to do with your children. It may be something you want to do with a small group, or whatever other
It's a really good way of just generously giving to those people who need, those people in need. So again, take a leaflet. There is a video which we're going to watch at the end of the service. So after we've worshipped again, before we put the teas and coffees out, we'll just pop a quick 2.5 minute video on, which is the official kind of shoebox appeal video for this year. So please do take a look. It's something that we've committed to, year in, year out for quite some time. This year we're quite excited in that we can actually bring the boxes in and leave them in the church. We'd have to keep bringing them back and forward each week. So hopefully that will be a kind of a visual stimulus as we can see that these things are sort of starting to pile up. They do need to be collected at the start of November, so possibly the 5th of November if that's the date as well. So there's not an awful lot of time, but you have got a month to pull some stuff together, and then half term you can actually kind of box things up and then bring them all in. It's a great way to bless people who have less than we do, and to find some happiness and some hope at Christmas. The leaflets are quite important because there are some restrictions as to what we're able to send and what we're not able to send. So please do pick those up and take a look and then think, is this something that you can do? Maria said that she thinks our record over the last few years has been something like 26 boxes. So I'm fairly confident that we can match or possibly smash that this year. We'll be plugging it a bit over the next few weeks. And we're not just plugging it because it's a nice thing to do. We're not just plugging it because we've done it the last few years. We're plugging it because we love the nations. And this is one way that we can express that love. We can say, okay, God has remarkably blessed us, so we can therefore bless other people who need it. Okay? Lecture over. Cool. So we as a leadership team, we want the church to really commit themselves to loving Jesus first and foremost, because these other things will flow from it. So hopefully what we've shared over the last couple of weeks will help you to see that actually if we can recognize God's love for us, if we can build and reflect that back to him in our love for him, we will then see that demonstrated in our love for one another, in our love for our town or our village, and our love for the nations. Okay? Is that on the right? Fantastic. Then in which case, Beck, Robin, do you want to come and lead us again? We're going to sing another couple of songs. Fantastic. And then, as I say, we'll pop the video on, the shoebox video, so you can see that. All right, should we stand up? Very good. Lord, I just thank you for all the things that we as a church have been able to do and that you've led us to do. Father, we don't want to bring these things up so we can just pat ourselves on the back. Lord, we know, Lord God, that you've done far more for us than we could ever do for our community or for for the nations that we have a link to. But Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunities that you've given us to reflect your love for us in our love for other people. So Father God, would you bless those endeavours that we have worked with, all the things that Susie was talking about, all the opportunities we just talked about there. Lord God, we pray blessings, Lord, upon Martin and Irena as they go out to Serbia. So, Father God, we thank you for all these opportunities. Thank you, Lord God, that we can truly say that we love our town, we love the nations. But it all comes from that love for you. So, Father, help us, Lord God, to worship you today, to build up that sense that our love for you, for the Father, for the Son, and for the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Amen. Amen.